The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen CPAs and Consultants. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM, KWLM.
Yes, and I am looking at two experts across the counter from me this morning. We've got Joel Gratz back, and Joel, you like to bring in other guests from the firm and kind of tell us a little bit more about all the expanded services you've been adding at Christensen & Associates. But first of all, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. It's always a pleasure on this beautiful day, finally in the spring. So we got that rolling for us. And you use the word two experts. I would not put myself in that expert bucket, but my esteemed colleague here, Bradley Peterson, a longtime partner of mine and friend, is coming today to talk about something that has we've been doing this for a while, but it's kind of been steadily climbing and steadily finding more opportunities, wouldn't you say, Bradley?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of growth in this area. You know, we've it kind of came in our lap. Looking at value-added egg, you know, our firm has always been about egg. It's always been about finding those value-added opportunities. You know, the ethanol industry obviously started that way, but certainly all these, you know, boards that got together and created these ethanol plants, they were very entrepreneurial. They were very much about building something new, and our job now is to help them take it to the next level. So they're looking for value-added opportunities, and we're there to help them with potentially financing, putting some of these, you know, business plans together, putting some, you know, direction into it. And yeah, that's a big part of what we're doing here.
And with the whole energy situation now, you know, ethanol's been kind of in the spotlight, and this waiver Absolutely. Now to have E15 allowed year-round. And, you know, we're kind of fortunate in this area because many of our stations have blender pumps already. We've been able to put E30 or E85 or whatever blend we want, you know, in our tanks for a while, where that's just not the case, though. In other parts of, and really with the, some of the real heavily populated areas.
Bill, that's a great segue. You mentioned the blender pumps, and actually there's a new grant program, and obviously one of the big things we do is we do a lot of grants. Mm-hmm. And one of the bigger programs that we're working with right now is called the HBIP, H-B-I-I-P, and I can't tell you what the letters are for. There's way too many acronyms in these programs. But there's $100 million in grants available for building new blender pumps and adding new storage tanks to help the ethanol industry, the biofuels industry, that renewable space get a better coverage mm-hmm. in various areas.
And so, you mentioned the infrastructure, right?
Yeah, totally infrastructure.
Right. I mean, as you said, Bill, there's not enough. Like here, we're lucky, and we've been, I should say lucky people, have had the foresight, the mm-hmm. vision. We've got ethanol plants every 60 miles. We grow our own fuel, right? So we're lucky here to have that opportunity. But the rest of the country, like you said, the infrastructure is not there. These are federal government programs. Is that correct, Bradley?
That's correct, yes.
Right. Yeah. So and the group that I'm talking about, again, from a managing partner perspective, is this business advisory group. It's got a really wide, you know, spread, wouldn't you say, Bradley? And what we all can do, and that's, we mentioned value add and trying to find opportunities inside the umbrella that we call this business advisory group, which got a lot of services that I don't do myself, but we have a lot of talented individuals, including Bradley, who really spends, wouldn't you say, more than half your time is spent in this area, is it not, Brad?
You know, absolutely, Joel, and it's growing, too. You know, we're looking for resources all the time. As Joel mentioned in the past, we talk about having remote employees, and this entire department is actually based throughout the country. The team lead is Jamie Klein. He's sitting out of Nebraska, Omaha. We have a gentleman out of Michael. He's out of Portland, Oregon. I've got a guy in Pennsylvania, a gal in Georgia. I mean, it's all over the country, and they're all have that basic knowledge or basic understanding that we're trying to help clients. And what we're looking for is basically those opportunities. And if it's a one-off program, it's great for us. But we're also looking for those big programs like the REAP grants from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, those type of things where we can do replication and we can do a high volume of business. HBIPs is another one where we expect that we're probably going to be doing in the next 6 months probably somewhere around 30 or 40 grant applications. And so that type of opportunity comes around you know, quite often when you start looking for them. But on the local end, there's a lot of opportunity, and it's not just in ag. But again, we focus on ag. That's who we are. That's what Christensen is all about. But, you know, there's a couple stories that I don't mind sharing with you. if you don't mind.
Yeah, it'd be great to hear. Yeah.
There's a group that's looking to put together a facility up north here. And one of the things is with a development group like that, there are a lot of ideas, right? They have really great ideas, but to kind of get it focused and put it down on paper and get it to a point where they can turn it into a true business plan that you can go to a bank and talk about and get them on board. And then go to investors, other investors, like-minded individuals that say, hey, this is a good program. This is what we want to do. That is kind of what our team is about. They take the ideas and they bring them down to what's feasible. They bring them down to a business plan that's marketable to investors as well as to bankers. And then we try to put the program together and we get it all the way to a shovel-ready project. And then we have the accountants take over and they help them with the rest of their compliance-type work. But that's kind of who we are. And it might end up being that we have to do business valuation for them, tell them what the company is worth. We might look into an actual due diligence for a potential sale. So we might be looking at, if we're looking at buying a company instead of just building it from ground up, we might help them with the due diligence related to that. You know, a lot of times they don't know exactly what the marketplace is, and we'll do a market study for them, provide them that information that they can use to help them, really get focused in on what they want to do and how they do that.
Yeah. Well, and I imagine that there's so many dollars involved nowadays, too. You just can't, hang up your shingles, so to speak, and, put a few items in there, maybe. And although there is a lot of social, these marketplace people are doing this, buying and selling and stuff. And I guess some are doing pretty well, it sounds like, with technology today. But otherwise, if it's really a serious business venture, a lot goes into it, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Mentioned, with really learning the market and your competition, I'm sure. And
understanding the marketplace, understanding that, like I mentioned that Michael out in Portland, he has an ag econing major. Mm-hmm. He was ag econ, but then he took his master's degree and he focused even further deeper into that area. So we have expertise in a lot of areas, and again, it's truly ag focused. So commodity prices, commodity pricing, going in, what comes out, we do that analysis, we provide that opportunity for them to understand, and then we put it into a financial model. Obviously, we're still a bunch of CPAs, so we love to do financial modeling, right? So we put together a set of financial statements that can give them an analysis of their break-even point. Am I going to make money, or what do the commodity prices have to be before I make money? I want to mention one more thing. The soybean crush.
Yes.
That is getting a lot of play right now, and we've been involved with a number of those projects, helping them put together modeling, put together the package that they can bring to the bank to get financing, bring to an investor group to help them raise that $300 million, which seems like a huge sum of money, but when you start breaking it down, and it's great to be part of that, helping our team and helping the community, helping those communities grow, because you bring in that type of project, obviously it's a huge economic development factor.
And there's a lot of potential, right, for products, made from soybeans. I mean, we're probably just more or less scratching the surface now, it sounds like.
Absolutely. But the hot button right now is obviously it's going into renewable fuels.
Mm-hmm. The diesel, the biodiesel, and the incentives and the credits. Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, renewable. There is a difference.
A huge difference.
There's a huge difference between renewable and just biodiesel. So.
Yeah. And it's, it's just a... understanding those differences and understanding the marketplace and which way it's going, because this is definitely the opportunities out there. I know that Carrie Butenhoff was here last month, I believe it was, and she talked about some of the compliance work we do related to that, and that's specific that Carrie's got her team of experts that work with the compliance end of it. So we kind of be your one-stop shop as it relates to some of these value-added projects. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like it in the old, I'm going to use the word old days, I guess, Bill, but when you had a great idea, you'd kind of put your briefcase together and you go where? To the bank. You have to convince just one person, the owner of the bank, to say, I got this really awesome idea. What do you think? And he or she, president of the bank, whatever, would basically say yes or no, right?
Yeah.
Today, when you have that great idea, you walk in there with just your briefcase of, I think it's a great idea, they're going to say, why don't you go shop Walmart for a few days, figure this out, and then find someone else who knows something, and then come back and talk to us. Is that right, Bradley?
Oh, absolutely.
And I look at this business advisor group, again, from the outside looking in, because I'm on the inside of it, and for the folks who are listening, every time Bradley mentioned, like, the grunt work, like accounting and CPAs and compliance, he pointed to me. Do you notice that, Bill? Like, I get to do the work while Bradley drives around in his car, not car, your fancy Ford F-150, and he waves around, and then I get to do the work. But that's great. That's why we're a great team here. But anyway, back to my story, talking about you need a team. And I look at this business advisor group. They can just about do everything you need to do in order to walk into a bank, walk into a group of investors and say, this is why it's going to work, all right? It's not just my idea now. I vetted it through feasibility studies, market analysis, and all the things that Bradley already mentioned, which our team can do for you. And when you walk in with that, I don't know what the percentage is, but your aptitude for success probably 4 or 5 times more likely to succeed.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And we've got proven success. You know, talking to our team, I think it's kind of like the McDonald's signs. You know, we've over 5 billion burgers sold, right? We're at probably about $100 million worth of financial assistance that we've provided, whether it's state or federal money that we've gotten for our clients. And the best part is once our clients work with us one time, they're generally willing to come back to us for a second round. Now we've had success in that first round. We got our initial project up and running. Now we're looking to do this expansion. We're looking to do this new opportunity, new technology. Mm-hmm. Technology is all big. And, they want to look at potentially investing in millions of dollars. And they're saying, hey, you know, right now it makes sense for us, but it's kind of marginal. Is there any other programs out there that we can look at that could potentially provide additional funding that would bring them over the bridge and get them to a point where that it is a feasible project?
Yeah. Now, does somebody from the firm actually help in making a presentation then? Is, say, you're trying to, you know, gain investors for a project?
Yes. Yes, we've actually been on the road, do a road shows where we go before investment groups and, a table full of local farmers and tell them about our project and explain why this makes sense for them and it's a good investment. And certainly it's a value-added opportunity for those farmers.
There's a fine line, though, for a CPA to be independent and to sell a product. And Bradley's looking at me like, okay, thanks a lot, managing partner, for, bringing in the compliance piece, but we are part of the sell. We are not the sell. We are the piece that explains we ran these numbers, we ran these financials based upon these assumptions. This is what the numbers look like and why based upon this, it's a decent investment, right? We can't go in there and per se sell. Is that right, Bradley?
That is correct, Joel. Thank you.
Our insurance guy, by the way. Hey, this is great. I'm glad that Joel brought that in there and the little asterisk in the bottom. You know, there's always something that we have to be careful of. But we are helping sell it. We're not the ones selling it because we don't have any stake in the game because we have to maintain independence. And that's a big deal. That's what you pay for, right? Yeah. I mean, if I had a stake in a skin in the game, I may not be independent. I may see stars and rainbows instead of the real deal that this is a bad project, right? So that's where we have to maintain our independence. And it can get blurry when you get excited. You know, we talk about sustainability and looking at these projects and the greater good. You get excited about it, right? And you feel like your job means something. You know, I'm not just bolting things together and I never know anything more about it. And no offense to the folks out there who bolt things together. That's not what I'm saying. It's like, we have a greater good, a greater concept of what we do every day that's going to influence either people financially, or it's going to make a community stronger, or it's going to take a renewable product and make the world sustainable, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's cool about not just being a CPA where, like Bradley said, I do all the compliance stuff in tax, which is all needed, and that's why we need each other.
Oh, absolutely.
And but it gives you that feeling of reward, right? That what I do matters every day. And that's why I feel, again, I'll maybe tooting the horn a little bit too much, but our firm has that footprint. And we have been in that footprint for a long time. And we've always found ways to identify what our clients could need, do need, will need, and provide those solutions. And this group, this business advisory group, has mutated, been dynamically morphing into this thing today where we got this full service team across the United States, and I just can't say good enough things about it. It's things that I don't do, but I understand I need it. I know how to use them. I know what it means. I know how to interpret them and read them and help that client do it. And Bradley's team are the ones who vets that and makes it work. So I see Bradley in his office late at night, and he's on the phone, and it's not because he's talking to his wife, unfortunately, but he's talking to proud projects all over the world, basically, making this stuff happen. And we're really, as a partner group, very proud of what Bradley and his team does. And he only mentioned a few names, but there's a lot of folks that support that.
Oh, absolutely.
In that system. And that's who we are, this little firm in West Central Minnesota. And we do our best to make a difference. And that's, I really think, what we do.
Yep. And it's a true source of pride because you drive by a facility that's up and running, and it's provided 40 jobs in the local community, and investment of that nature, and you say, hey, I was a part of that.
Yeah.
And there's a huge source of pride for that.
Yeah, it's hard not to be, stick your chest out a little bit at that point.
Look at any of those investors in the ethanol plants, our local ethanol plant here, and you any of those initial board members and those initial investors, they were throwing money on the line thinking, I'm hoping this goes.
It was kind of a rocky road, too, for quite a while with ethanol,
The folks in Benson, the first probably pioneers in the area, they worked hard at it. Our former partner, John Christensen, that was his thing. Every day he was on the road helping sell and make that project work, right? Now, I got to be careful how I say that. To his credit, he gambled as well, right? He was investing a lot of time that he didn't know he's going to get paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Bradley and I are getting to reap the rewards of a lot of folks before us, including the boards and all that. But just to be locally, we have a local focus, but we also have a national focus, and we're just, we try to do the right thing every day.
I know JP talked with John recently about this carbon sequestration and this kind of linking all the ethanol plants in the upper Midwest here together, and then getting the carbon. I guess there is carbon as a result of the process. Burying it somewhere out, what is it, in South Dakota or wherever they're planning on having
this? Well, they've been going through a lot. I mean, in our industry, ethanol, the thermal oxidizer was doing a lot of the burn-offs.
Mm-hmm.
So, our industry, I say our, I feel like we are in it,
but the
renewable fuels industry, ethanol, it's a closed-loop process, and there's a lot of misinformation out there, Bill, that people think you're polluting this and doing that, and, that system is already pretty good. It's not perfect. Far better than others. But the carbon, the greenhouse impact and global warming, they're trying to take that out of the air and instead of adding to it, maybe helping it. And they're going to try to stuff it, I guess, somewhere in the Earth's crust somewhere. And I don't know all that answers. So a lot of geothermal.
I like how CPAs try to talk about,
try to talk big and smart.
Engineering stuff. Yeah, we're going to stuff it into a salt mine in Western North Dakota.
Yeah. With a crack in the ground and a tractor with a PTO shaft on it, I guess. I don't know. It's that simple.
But there are still a lot of, misconceptions, people that aren't in the loop with what the technology is. And I know another thing that a lot of people talk about is that is there a lot of water consumed? And is it able to be recycled in the process?
And what do you think the answer is?
Well, I think there's less now with the newer technology.
Zero discharge.
Really?
So you know that.
Yeah.
It's all consumed and brought right back in.
Mm-hmm.
I think every ethanol plant is that.
Yeah, that is 100%.
100%
for sure.
Yeah. Every ethanol plant out there, listeners, takes water, uses it, whatever's left over goes right back in. Zero discharge, doesn't go anywhere, and it's
but
water
some is
renewable.
Turned into vapor, right? Though
goes into the clouds, just goes into rain and comes back, right?
Exactly,
in a theory, engineering, I'm getting a little far off my path there, aren't I?
That is back to forecasting.
Yeah, maybe I should talk about the weather next too. I don't know, but we like to have a good time here, Bill. I hope you don't mind that. I guess
no, I love it. So.
I love it too, man. This is good. How are we doing on time?
Well, we're getting to maybe 2 minutes to go here, and I think you've covered most of what you had on our thing here. So basically, you know what grants are available or you can find out, right, Bradley? And
yep, that's definitely one of our first points is that we like to do before we get too far into the project, we want to know what it is, but then we start looking for those opportunities. We look through the state and we look through the federal grants. We do do look at those studies and, you know, kind of take a look and see if there's other opportunities that might not be earmarked for this, but how can we kind of tweak them to make them fit into that bucket? Again, our success rate is speaks for itself, having raised all that money for those people.
Yeah. Are you involved at all with, like, legislation and things like that then, too? Is that another aspect that...
So certainly we belong to and provide a lot of support for organizations that are involved in the industries we work with.
I see.
And, you know, they're looking for data, they're looking for answers, and we can help them provide that with support. So, yes, that's a big part of what we do.
Yeah, we don't have a lobbyist per se on staff, probably never will. Maybe I shouldn't say never, Bradley. You probably have an idea for that in one of your hirings, but that's a backstory as well. But the organizations we contribute to have a lobbying is a big part of that, and make sure the world's balance is kept in check. And if it's agriculture specifically for that, if it's renewable fuels, we mentioned renewable, you know, the renewable diesel, the carbon sequestration, you know, the green book, if you will, that Mr. Biden, President Biden's been putting out there. So we all have kind of inside track. I've recently joined the Midwest Council on Ag with former Representative Colin Peterson at the helm. Mm-hmm. We're really fortunate to be part of that group, and John Christensen's on the board with that, a new group that they're forming for that reason, for agriculture, not just the renewable fuels, but agriculture specifically. And that's a real focused effort on that. So we feel if we speak to it, we have to live it, Bill. And, and I feel we're doing that. And we spend time and energy in addition to our dollars, budget dollars, to help that. Because, you know, that's where our bread is buttered, too. So that's how we do that.
Well, and it sounds like they want to get more of a unified. That's always been a kind of a knock on agriculture. People are kind of divided as to they focus on what they're doing and don't realize that the whole picture, you know, kind of is really what's important. So if people want to learn more about what you're doing, how do we reach the firm there?
Sure. They can give us a call. Our phone number is 320-235-5937. Right,
excellent.
Joel?
Gosh, he looked at me like he didn't have that number memorized, but he got it. But our website's probably our best way, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, ChristiansenCPA.com. Emily, thank you if you're listening out there. Keeps that together for us. And, it's a good source of information. So
we have a whole page that talks about the business advisory group.
So. Yeah, just one. Right. Yeah, landing page for that.
So. All right.
Is your picture on it?
No, you know, I try to not to be part of the...
Because you have a
face for radio.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you know, it's been at least 5 years since I've been on this radio.
Is it really? I didn't think it was that long.
But. And I swear you have not changed a bit. Well, you have not aged a bit.
Yeah, that's good to hear, because I don't feel the same as I did 5 years
have
ago.
Have a great weekend, Bill.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming in. Good luck.